This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Problems continue to plague the Lincoln Project organization and is now facing big problems and major legal trouble after it was accused of publishing screenshots of private Twitter direct messages belonging to one of its co-founders, Jennifer Horn. Horn left the Lincoln Project last week amid the John Weaver scandal. The Lincoln Project is an American political action committee formed in late 2019. The Department of Health and Human Services has been made aware that the COVID-19 vaccine was listed as one of the several causes of death for an individual in Nebraska. The individual, a male in his late 40s with a number of medical conditions, died between 1 and 2 weeks after receiving his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. DHHS says vaccination is still the best line of defense against the COVID-19 pandemic. NASCAR fires back up this weekend. Sunday is Daytona 500 season opener, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
President Biden announced Thursday the federal government purchased an additional 200 million doses of the coronavirus vaccine. Biden was speaking during a tour of the National Institutes of Health. Biden said the U.S. is on track to have enough supply of the vaccine to inoculate 300 million Americans by the end of July. More than 32 million Americans have received at least one dose of the vaccine, according to data from the CDC. The suspect in the Tuesday shooting at a Minnesota health clinic that killed one person and wounded 4 others was charged with murder on Thursday. In a criminal complaint that detailed the gruesome attack, authorities say 67-year-old Gregory Ulrich is responsible. The complaint also alleges Ulrich detonated 2 explosive devices. President Biden has warned China will eat our lunch if America doesn't step up its infrastructure spending. Mr. Biden was speaking on Thursday with a group of senators about the need to upgrade the infrastructure in the United States. His warning comes a day after his first phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. USA Radio News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Remember when GameStop stock prices went to $483 a share? Not bad for a struggling company. It didn't appear any laws were broken in a move that hurt hedge fund managers by the well-organized movement, mainly on social media service Reddit. Giving us a better perspective, USA Radio News Tim Berg has more.
Federal prosecutors and regulators are investigating whether market manipulation or other types of misconduct fueled the rapid rise last month in prices of stocks such as GameStop and AMC Entertainment Holdings. Those fluctuations hurt hedge funds. When it comes to hedge funds, pollster Frank Luntz tells CNBC the public doesn't have too strong of an opinion about a hedge fund.
The fact is that this is an industry that's under attack. This is an industry that isn't trusted. People don't have faith and confidence in it. And one of the challenges is that they, quite frankly, they've got no one explaining what they do. And I don't mean lobbyists. I mean people who are responsible for saying, for explaining the process, explaining why they are important to the investment community, because right now, with Democrats in control of the House and Senate, you could absolutely see some sort of constraints, additional regulation, because that was key in all of this, that the American people want to see some sort of balance.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A hedge fund is a pooled investment fund that trades in relatively liquid assets and is able to make extensive use of more complex trading. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
After the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, go to BillMartinezShow.com. It's all right there. Hey, I want to welcome Jason Riley to the show, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a columnist for Wall Street Journal. Of course, we see him all the time on Fox News as a commentator with balance and intellectual insight that is always a blessing, Jason. I want you to know that. I just so appreciate your work.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I know you want to talk about your work. Speaking of another journalist, noted longtime contributor, I believe, to the American culture and a classic in many regards, Thomas Sowell. And you did a lot of great work on this new TV documentary, Thomas Sowell, Common Sense in a Senseless World. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so the filmmakers, the Free to Choose Network, found out that I was working on a biography of Sowell that'll be out in May, and approached me and asked if I'd like to narrate a documentary film about his life. And I jumped at the opportunity. I've been a big fan of Sowell for a very long time. And we traveled around the country and to places that were significant in his life. So he was raised in Harlem, and we shot some of it there, and he attended the University of Chicago for his PhD in economics, and we shot some of it there, and he's currently based at the Stanford University's Hoover Institution, so we also shot some of the film there. So it was a great experience, and I so far I'm very happy with the response to the film. Particularly, we're getting a lot of feedback from younger viewers that we're reaching, and I'm very glad that Sowell's being introduced to a younger generation.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm envious. I wish I could have been there. I'd have carried your suitcase, done anything, you know, to be around the two of you. How did you come to know Thomas Sowell?
Well, I first met Sowell while working at the Wall Street Journal on the editorial board in the mid-90s, and Tom would come through New York on book tours. And so that's the first time I met him, when he came to visit the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I later went out in the mid-2000s to do a profile of him for the paper, and that's when we struck up a friendship that sort of endured over the years, and I started asking him some years ago about becoming his biographer. He's he doesn't have one, or didn't until I wrote this book, and he was very reluctant. But I kept pushing him, and maybe I just wore him down. He's 90 years old now, so maybe he's getting a little a little soft in his dotage.
Yeah, well, he just can't run as fast as he used to. It's a little bit easier for you to get, catch up to him on, but you know, but even for you to ask him to be his biographer, I mean, were you a bit intimidated, or you just thought, well, I'm going to take a bold move. Why not, huh?
Oh, I I was extremely intimidated. He's a very intimidating persona and intellect, and I called friends of his and asked them to help me nudge him in the right direction, and
right.
I think a bunch of people pushed him and urged him, and he doesn't change his mind very often, so I consider it a great success.
Well, I appreciate so much about Thomas Sewell. Of course, we have in common that we're both former Marines, so Semper Fi brings us together, and so I appreciate that, but always have appreciated, as you say, his intellect. I mean, he is a regarded leading expert on race history and economics, and you know, I guess the fact that he's been doing this for decades is a qualifier and a headline to his legacy, is it not?
Absolutely, and what it also shows when you look back over the decades at his writings is how long he's been right about so many issues. Things we think about today or that we're still discussing and debating today, from social justice and inequality to affirmative action and the minimum wage law and slavery reparations, we've been here. These debates are all old debates, and Tom has covered them in their last iteration and the iteration before that. And also his work on political philosophy in general and ideas, which is his first love, his discipline. He was got his degree in the history of economic thought. So Tom studied the classical economists, you know, John Stuart Mill and Adam Smith and those guys. And but he has traced the origins of these political debates that we have back centuries, not only here in the U.S., but also in Europe and so forth. He's been steeped in this. And when you go back and read his earlier work on this stuff, you realize just how shallow some of these current arguments are today, coming from the likes of Ta-Nehisi Coates and Nicole Hannah-Smith and Ibram Kendi and the likes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you bring up a good point here, Jason. His position on this contemporary thought of systemic racism.
Yeah, it's you know, Tom is one of these people who has been banging away for decades at the notion that racism does not explain racial inequality, that it is an insufficient explanation of racial differences in outcomes, that we have had times in history when the gap between groups has narrowed and times in history when it's widened. But racism has been constant, so it's really hard to use it as empirical evidence of a causal factor in and of itself. And he says you have to look at other factors that drive inequality, namely culture, you know, behavior, attitudes, human capital development in certain groups and so forth, and that it's better to focus on those issues. And that's what he has tried to do in his scholarship over the decades.
Yeah, it's not only about hard work, but in many ways it is about hard work. I mean, if you're willing to put the effort in, you see the cream always rising, as my dad would tell his 9 kids repeatedly. You know, there is dividend in hard work. It may not be immediate, and it may be subsequent, but he's always found that to be the case. It's something he preached, as I said, to his 9 kids, and something that I embraced, and, you know, because there's a certain amount of it, you know. Sometimes I wonder, well, is it an excuse? The reason I'm not where I should be is because of racism. Because believe me, we hear that in the Hispanic community as well.
Right. And Solis pointed out, you know, yes, hard work plays a role. Moreover, all groups aren't working as hard at the same endeavors. I mean, if you want to find out why, you know, Asian Americans outperform other groups in school, maybe it has something to do with the fact that Asian Americans, on balance, spend more time studying than other groups do, less time watching television than other groups do, read more books than other groups do. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Exactly.
So you're right. Hard work matters, and all groups do not have the same attitudes towards certain endeavors. And so we see differences in outcomes. And that's, again, one of those non-racism explanations for why we see different outcomes among different groups. But there is an element of the mainstream media and an element of academia and elites in general, intellectual elites in general, who want to simply use racism as this blanket explanation for why we see different outcomes among different groups. And Sol has made a life time out of just eviscerating that argument with example after example.
Exactly. Well, like you said, it takes a bit of focus, takes some intelligence, and some really desire to want to get to the truth of the matter and really speak about this in a way that elevates one another and not brings people down. We've got more from Jason Riley after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. The legal cannabis market is making huge moves since the election, and the market is projected to grow to $47 billion by 2025. The companies that we've identified are set to disrupt this multi-billion dollar industry. Get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word NOW to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word NOW to 48542. Text NOW to 48542. And don't get left behind in 2021, where unprecedented trading ideas for you to research are waiting. Text the word NOW to 48542.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
and independent we are. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, the one and only. Jason Riley is with us. Always good to be speaking with Jason. We always appreciate his balanced view that he gives us in his appearances, whether it's at Fox News, or as a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, of course, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Jason, for you to work on this documentary on Thomas Sowell, is it fair? Do you regard him as a mentor, so to speak?
Well, I never studied under Tom, and I only know him professionally, and I've only known him for about 15 years or so. But certainly through his writings and his commentary over the decades, and through the time I've gotten to know him for the book, we did a bunch of extensive interviews for the book. Yes, I do consider him as someone that I certainly regard very, very highly, and who has had a huge influence on the way I think about things on all manner of issues, from race and culture to economics and political philosophy and educational issues and all the rest. And really, it's how he thinks about things that I admire. I don't necessarily agree with all of his conclusions on every issue, but I like his approach to policy, his way of thinking about things, and I think he's just a very rigorous thinker, and I appreciate that.
I would definitely say that he's one of our most outstanding thought leaders in our culture today. And if nothing else, even by osmosis, I think that people would say that they admire his thought and his contribution in such a way that clearly his thoughts have influenced their thoughts. And, he has been a positive contribution, to our culture. We only hope that more people will listen to him. And, I was pleased to hear what you said in the first segment, that you find it refreshing that the younger generation is embracing this documentary and what you're sharing with everybody around Thomas Sowell.
Yeah, it is encouraging, because I think right now you see progressives, the woke left as they're called, ascendant in the country right now. You see this sympathy for socialism. You see the Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing of the Democratic Party on the rise, and I find that very disturbing. I know, if you're a millennial, I can sort of understand it. If your experience has been the Great Recession and COVID, mm-hmm. you might be someone who's kind of skeptical of capitalism and free markets and what they can do. So maybe the political right needs to do a better job of explaining itself and making the case for free markets. But it is encouraging that there are some young people out there who are open to the ideas that Tom Sowell has been putting out there for decades. I find that encouraging.
Yeah. Jason, I might also say for the younger people, I often tell even my sons that experience defines preference. And where we are right now in light of COVID and the economical hit that we have taken, and even in spite of this, how well, I think comparatively, we've been able to do, that the chapters of capitalism are yet to be written on the other side of COVID, because this is really, to me, is a big part of the solution. Is, first of all, we got to get out of fear. We put fear in the rearview mirror and start looking forward again and embracing hope. Well, boy, to me, the biggest element of hope is the ability to get back to work and provide for our families. Is it not?
Absolutely. And you always have to ask when you talk about a political system or an economic system in terms of what's better, you say compared to what? And you're always asking yourself, yes, free market capitalism is not a perfect system. It has its flaws. And then you say, but compared to what? What would you replace it with? What has a better track record of lifting groups out of poverty and growing economies and making people happier and so forth? And that's the question you have to ask. And unfortunately, I look at our school system, And I think that there's a lot to be desired there, the way kids are being raised today and what they're being told about U.S. history and about our system. And we've turned some of our elementary schools into sort of, you know, these social justice boot camps. And
yes,
kids aren't being taught how to reason and think logically, and the difference between, you know, a slogan and an argument. And they're taught to cancel people they disagree with. They're taught to silence people they disagree with, not debate them. And that's happening on our college campuses, and it's seeping down into our elementary schools with things like the 1619 Project and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I find that very disturbing. I think that's something that as a country we need to take a look at very closely.
Well, it's taken us down the yellow brick road of ignorance. I mean, when you cancel another, I mean, our country worked. I mean, it was, you know, you think that our founding fathers, you know, whether it was by divine intervention, insight, whatever you want to call it, but to give us the First Amendment right, I mean, that is a powerful underpinning of our U.S. Constitution, because the net result of free speech is that we're all the more intellectual and more understanding, and really can, you know, appreciate our neighbor when we're able to have a conversation, even in disagreement. Because, you know, again, I yield to my father. My father, you know, would tell me, he said, Bill, you know, God never gave any one person all the good, so to speak. And sometimes you will find the person that is most annoying to you is the person that has that missing puzzle piece that will flip the light bulb, you know, switch of intelligence on in your head. And I found my father to be more right than wrong in that instance.
Yeah, I think you I think you're absolutely right about that. So,
well, he was right. He was right. I just followed his lead, you know, and it's something that I've embraced. And I think Thomas Sowell, I think that's something that would rhyme with your reason as well, is that after everything is all said and done, I mean, we want to be smarter tomorrow than we were today. And that doesn't happen in a canceled culture.
No, it doesn't. And it also doesn't happen in a culture that puts political correctness above everything else.
Exactly.
When you can't state plain truths because you might hurt someone's feelings, or because that doesn't fit a certain narrative that someone of some ideological bent wants it to fit. And that's been a problem as well. And one of the ways Tom has distinguished himself throughout his career is his willingness to simply follow the facts where they lead, regardless of whether the outcome is politically incorrect or not, that the truth matters more. And you might think, well, that's such a simple thing. Don't all scholars and intellectuals do that? And the truth is no, they don't. Many people are more concerned about being politically correct, not upsetting a narrative in the mainstream media and so forth. And so we can't have honest discussions about, you know, why all these homicides are taking place in Chicago, for instance, or what is driving jobless rates and so forth. We're not allowed to have honest conversations about work habits, about attitudes towards the law, or attitudes towards marriage, or attitudes towards child rearing. And that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't begin to address these problems if you can't have honest discussions about them.
Well, ever since relative truth came into play, we've compromised truth. You cannot compromise truth. It either is or it isn't. And since
right,
it became relative, then, you know, we've lost our anchor point in that. And we're paying a big price for this. And hopefully America as a corporate entity will grow wiser quick and understand that reality. We've got to wrap things up here right now. And Jason, again, I thank you for coming on. Congratulations on this documentary and your upcoming book, because you'll be on a book tour, and look forward to having you back to talk about Thomas Sowell's biography, Common Sense in a Senseless World. How can people access this documentary?
Well, there are a couple ways. You can go to sowellfilm.com, and that's S-O-W-E-L-L film.com, and there you can find out when it's going to air on your local public television station. And at that same site, you can also stream it. And it can be streamed through Vimeo or Amazon or on YouTube. So there are a number of ways to see it.
Jason Riley, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, columnist for The Wall Street Journal, commentator for Fox News, of course. Jason, always a joy. Appreciate the time. Take care. God bless.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Problems continue to plague the Lincoln Project organization and is now facing big problems and major legal trouble after it was accused of publishing screenshots of private Twitter direct messages belonging to one of its co-founders, Jennifer Horn. Horn left the Lincoln Project last week amid the John Weaver scandal. The Lincoln Project is an American political action committee formed in late 2019. The Department of Health and Human Services has been made aware that the COVID-19 vaccine was listed as one of the several causes of death for an individual in Nebraska. The individual, a male in his late 40s with a number of medical conditions, died between 1 and 2 weeks after receiving his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. DHHS says vaccination is still the best line of defense against the COVID-19 pandemic. NASCAR fires back up this weekend. Sunday is Daytona 500 season opener, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Minutes before the top of the hour. Good to have you back with us. Bill Martinez here. Daniel Greenfield joins us now. Daniel's the investigative journalist at the Shulman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center and writer, and he's got lots to talk about. Daniel, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, Daniel, you write about the Southern Poverty Law Center giving a racist pass in the name of anti-racism. That's like trying to square up a circle here. What is going on?
We live in very strange times. That's the short version of what's going on. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, you know, as most people know, is rather biased, rather left-wing, has gone further in destroying what's left of its tattered credibility by saying they're no longer going to monitor, they're not going to have a black separatist category. And, you know, these are groups which have engaged in a whole lot of violence, including two terrorist attacks not all that long ago in New York and New Jersey. And they're saying that because of equity, which is, you know, the new buzzword, they're no longer going to monitor them because it would imply that hate by black people and white people is equal, and they don't want to do that.
So we're throwing ourselves on the altar of racial injustice, trying to square up some goofy perception created by man here.
Yeah, it's absolutely artificial, and we've gone away from the basic concept that racism is hating other people, that bigotry is hating other people. Instead, they have to keep deciding who has the right to hate other people.
Exactly. I mean, that's where we are right now. I mean, like, suddenly, you know, in this desire to get rid of racism and to tamp down hatred, we now say, well, we're going to tamp it down except for this one area, and we're going to codify in some sort of way certain levels of hatred by specific groups. So if you're outside of that group, then, you know, hatred cannot be anything part of it. But yet hate speech and hateful actions can be put upon you because you're not a protected class anymore. Is that what they're saying?
That's exactly what they're saying. You've got it exactly right. They're saying that beyond that, that racism, bigotry is really about who has power and who doesn't, which is a Marxist take on it. Mm-hmm. It's not just saying if you hate another person, that's bad and you should stop doing that. It's, well, if you hate people, it only counts if you have power, and they choose to define who has power and who doesn't. In reality, the people they define as not having power are the ones who actually have power when you watch the media, whereas the people they define as having power have no power.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that all this is coming to the front on this this month, which is Black History Month and all. I mean, how does this really advance the true cause of Black history and equity?
It doesn't, but they're not especially interested in any kind of equality. What they're interested in is equity, which means just constantly reasserting and reevaluating and creating these new metrics for deciding that we need to completely transform society, which is what really all that they want to do. They don't want to actually get to the point, can we live together? Are we doing better as a country? Instead, it's our country is even worse than you ever thought, and we need to do A, B, C, D, E, and F, and we need to completely retrain how you think in order to even have any hope of getting better. And really, we don't have any hope of getting better is their overall message. When you look at anti-racism training, when you look at stuff like white fragility, which is very popular now in certain circles, their conclusion is there's really no hope whatsoever for getting better because our society is suffering from whiteness, from internalized whiteness. We're constantly going to be deprogramming people, but even then, white people are absolutely hopeless.
Well, and I guess that's what fuels the attitude of Black Lives Matter and their leadership that says, we just want to burn it down. You know, the most expeditious way to solve this problem is just destroy it all, right?
Yeah, that's been their conclusion all along. Our America is absolutely irredeemable. We're poisoned by the original sins of slavery. Whatever we've done has actually just been about reasserting white supremacy. The civil rights movement was about reasserting white supremacy. Abraham Lincoln statues have to be toppled. For that matter, statues of Martin Luther King are being defaced. His quotes about the content of our character being more important than the color of our skin are being removed. So we need to completely trash everything and then create this perfect state in which everybody will hate each other all the time.
Exactly. We're talking with Daniel Greenfield, Shulman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center. Daniel, at the core of all this, isn't it about our faith? I mean, you know, our faith tells us that we are redeemable. Their faith tells them that we're irredeemable. I mean, isn't that the bottom line conflict that we're really addressing here?
That's exactly the case. If you go back to the civil rights movement, it was animated by this religious idea of brotherhood, that we could actually come together. When you eliminate religion from the picture and you eliminate the idea that people can actually repent, that they can actually become better people, then you've got this sociological mechanistic system in which we're all the product of race, in which we're all the product of culture, and we can't actually change. And this is really the essential argument for anti-racism. We can't change. We are stuck with this kind of internalized whiteness. We can try to unlearn it, but basically it's a hopeless project. We can't actually be redeemed. All we can do is support the power of these people who know better than we do.
Right. And interestingly enough, they're concerned about people who have the power, and yet there's You know, Cory Booker, an elected official, Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States. Of course, they put all kinds of pressure on the FBI to stop monitoring black nationalist hate groups before several murderous anti-Semitic attacks by members of the Black Hebrew Israelite hate group. So, you know, they've picked no bones about it. You know, forget about law and order. And surprisingly, from a former attorney general out of the state of California.
There's absolutely no interest in any kind of law and order, but in changing the system to redefine what law and order is. And we're seeing that double standard pervade everything. What do we define as a right? What do we define as crime? What do we define as threatening public safety?
Well, in the SPLC, as you and I have discussed before, what makes it so dangerous is they have an influence. I mean, they are very effective in putting pressure and, you know, kind of squaring up these round pegs in a way that is bewildering for people with reason and who still hold on to some critical thought.
Critical thought is an essential issue. What has been done with the so-called cancel culture, what's been done with critical race theory and so many of these other manifestations is they've built a parallel language, different vocabulary that completely transforms reality so that black is white, white is black, hate is actually love, and love is actually hate. And they teach people to speak and to think in these terms, which is what cults and totalitarian regimes do. And when you actually encounter one of these people, there's really no common language because they are not even taught to function in any kind of rational framework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goalposts are always moving. Even the definition, as you write, they argue that black nationalist hate groups are not made up of only black individuals. So let's homogenize something that you disdain from being homogenized, but somehow in their narrative, they can embrace that if it fits their, you know, their objective, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is frustrating because when you truly want to, you know, solve a problem and do something about hate, you're in an untenable situation. I mean, when I talk about winning or being successful, it's about the investment of your resources, your intellect, you know, your own heart to want to solve the problem. But it seems like they're not really interested in solving the problem.
They don't get any benefit from solving problems. They get benefit from perpetuating and worsening problems. That's what we see with every social problem they've tried to take on. War on poverty. They've actually made poverty a good deal worse. They promise to solve racism. America is far more divided than ever. Anytime they tackle any problem, their goal is to worsen the problem to give themselves more power. I mean, just look at the contemporary example, homelessness. They promised to tackle homelessness. Homelessness, at least, for example, in L.A. and in many other cities, is now actually much worse than it was when they started out.
Exactly. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Daniel after this. Stay with us.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation.
800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one?
Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, the shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Daniel Greenfield continues with us. Daniel, a showman journalism fellow at the Freedom Center. And we're talking about the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, has put pressure to stop monitoring black hate groups because of equity. In essence, they're giving racists a pass in the name of anti-racism. Yeah, I know. It probably stalled your brain just a moment. You're kind of shaking your head and going, okay, help me understand. Yes, I said it right. They're giving racists a pass in the name of anti-racism. And this is the thing, you know, with this, Daniel, is that, you know, the door of racism swings both ways, but it doesn't want to be discussed, you know, as far as black towards white. It's only discussed white towards black.
The basic idea of what the left has adopted is that minorities can't be racist toward white people. They've adopted this Marxist framework in which it's not about racism, it's about power. Thus, the more power you have, then you can't, then you can only be a bigot. Whereas if you have less power, then you can only be a bigot. Then you can't be a bigot. So instead of actually saying that bigotry is hating other people, what they're saying is bigotry is really power, and they're doing this because they want to take over and dismantle the so-called powerful institutions in the country. And this is a complete Marxist misinterpretation that trashes everything the civil rights movement tried to accomplish.
Right. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of the spiritual aspect of this whole issue, because what it comes down to is, you know, the Marxists, like they've done historically, it's like, okay, this is all bad, and we need to purify this. And this is man's way, their idea of purification, not a religious, not anything that you and I grew up with to understand what religion's all about, the grace and mercy of God, because I doubt that there's any grace or mercy in Marxism, is there?
No, there isn't. There's just punishment. There's just constant atonement. There's nonstop oppression. As George Orwell, who had come out of those circles, described it in 1984, picture an image of a boot stamping on a human face forever. That's it.
Exactly. Well, the appalling aspect, again, if you listen to even these elected officials like Cory Booker, he's insisted that black nationalist violence doesn't exist. This is after a summer of love, Black Lives Matter, heating up cities across the country, doing in excess of $3 billion in damage. And I guess that must have been done by some, white fairy deranged godmother out there just flying around, wreaking havoc.
Apparently, all the violence is mostly peaceful. They will trot out this number while completely ignoring the actual violence because it's a talking point. And mm-hmm. this is human nature. The people you sympathize with, when they engage in violence, then you just find excuses and you say it's an outlier. But when the people you don't like, then that's utterly defining. And this is just a move away from reason, from any kind of objective thinking, from any kind of law and order, which is a huge crisis.
And this is supposedly an educated man making, if I dare say, such a stupid statement. I mean, that's about as ignorant as Jerry Nadler looking into the camera and saying the deep state doesn't exist. I mean, look at, there are obvious signs that it does exist. The same case of Senator Booker claiming that black nationalist violence doesn't exist. I mean, how bizarre is this coming from an elected official, someone who is supposedly highly educated, saying something so ignorant?
There was a black nationalist attack in his own state, and Cory Booker responded by talking about gun control very predictably. And, he knows the truth very well personally. He talked about meeting with Farrakhan, and, that's the Nation of Islam. It's the guys who killed Malcolm X. So he knows about this. He just chooses to push these lies. There are people who actually come to believe them, but there are people at the top who know very well that they're lying.
Well, Daniel, you've done a lot of investigating, reporting, and where it stands right now in 2021. Give us a rundown, on these, these groups and how violent they've been. I mean, Black Lives Matter comes to the fore here, but, we're not even talking about the Black Liberation Army, Black Hebrew Israelite terror attack, as you mentioned, in Booker's own state, the murder of five police officers in Dallas, the NOI and its splinter groups like YBMB, and the murder of Malcolm X, which is like one of those other fallacies that they say never actually existed.
So there is a pretty straight line between some of the older groups and Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter draws its inspiration pretty clearly from Satra Shakur, who was one of the FBI's 10 most wanted domestic terrorists. She's hiding out in Cuba for her role in the murder of a state trooper. She was a member of the Black Liberation Army. Black Lives Matter will repeat her chant at pretty much all of their events. And again, this is a domestic terrorist. So there's a clear line between the 60s, 70s black nationalist terrorists and the Black Lives Matter movement. Likewise, there's a pretty clear line between the Nation of Islam and various of these more violent groups that are just taking its racism. I mean, the Nation of Islam is incredibly racist. This is it's probably the largest racist religion in America, which believes that white people were created by an evil mad scientist and are going to be destroyed by a UFO in the sky. This is not exactly the Islam that they have over in Saudi Arabia. They influence a whole lot of other crazy splinter groups that are also racist. So there's your Black Muslim Bakery, which sounds like a franchise, but in practice, they killed a whole bunch of people in Oakland, and they're still committing crimes. And really, when you look at the influence of black nationalists in culture, a whole lot of them are influenced by the Nation of Islam. They're influenced by splinters of the Nation of Islam, which all believe the same basic thing, which is that the same thing white supremacists believe, except flipped around, that black people are superior, that they're a master race, that white people are evil and inferior, that they're devils and that they're going to die, and that there has to be a battle to kill them off.
Right. Well, Daniel, some would identify this as a lunatic fringe perspective, but it's one that Kamala Harris and Cory Booker have supported. And we just had a situation in Congress where you had a congresswoman canceled taken off of, you know, a committee because as she was thinking out loud and saying things based on a perception before she was an elected official, you know, she let her opinion be heard and it's revisited. And now she's censured and they're doing everything they can to even, you know, get her kicked out altogether in Congress. Well, what about Cory Booker? What about Kamala Harris for, you know, these past associations? Booker, we know, you know, met with Farrakhan. So he is in alignment with some of these things that you might say, you know, border on the conspiratorial if they're not full-blown conspiratorial. But yet they get a pass.
Yeah, it's not that much of a fringe because after Obama left office, a picture came out of him at a Congressional Black Caucus event posing with Farrakhan. If this picture came out before the original election, things might have been different. The third highest ranking Democrat in the House praised the Nation of Islam, attended a Nation of Islam event. Warnock, who just got through to the Senate from Georgia, again, Farrakhan ties, defense of Jeremiah Wright. So all this stuff absolutely pervades it. It's a fringe only in the sense that we don't really talk about it, but within black political circles, it is incredibly influential. Again, the fact that Farrakhan was at a Congressional Black Caucus event says everything. This is the defining organization for black elected officials at a federal level.
What's happening, Daniel, that the fringe is taking over? Is it that, you know, the typical, you know, 90-10 ratio that takes place? You got 10% of the radicals holding off the 90% that they've got them, you know, begging their pardon and, you know, folding up like a cheap $2 chair?
That's a good description of it. The big picture of what's going on is that the left itself has become increasingly radicalized, increasingly willing to embrace any horrible point of view as long as it's further to the left. They've made all sorts of very problematic alliances with racists, with terrorist groups, and while they accuse the right of this on a regular basis, they have been very deeply guilty of this, and you can just look at some of what I just described as an example of that. They're in bed with the Nation of Islam. They've been in bed with it for a while. They're in bed with Antifa, with radical groups that are dedicated to violence, that have this picture of America as evil and needing to be destroyed. And there's absolutely nothing to stop this because the bottom line is they don't believe that America is a good country. They don't believe that America is redeemable. And the further they've gone, further down this path that we've discussed, this idea that America is irredeemable, the more they license radicals. Because if you believe that America can't be saved, Americans can't be improved, then what's left? Just destroy everything.
Well, and that's what's happened with other Marxist nations. They didn't start out that way, but it was like a cancer that spread to the point where it gets metastasized. And then what follows is mass destruction and, dare I say, murder.
Yeah, we've already seen the mass destruction and the riots over the summer. We've seen at least 8 people killed. That's only going to get worse from here.
Help us understand. We've got about a minute and a half left here, Daniel. You write white supremacists, black supremacists have the same basic beliefs. What do you mean by that?
So black supremacists began really a century ago. They adopted most of the white supremacist beliefs, which is that they're the superior race. The other people are the inferior race. There's going to be a climactic battle. The superior race is going to have to defeat the inferior race. They were very clear about their influences. The Nation of Islam was allied with the KKK against the civil rights movement. Earlier, black supremacists like Marcus Garvey were open about admiring Hitler. He said the black man needs his own Hitler. By the way, there's a whole bunch of streets and things named after Marcus Garvey. Mm-hmm. Despite all this, Farrakhan has said that he admires Hitler. So these people really want to be Nazis.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and at their very core, they hate America and all that America stands for. And this is what is invading the culture and the thoughts of Americans today. It is in the editor rooms and also in TV control rooms as well, making sure that all the right words are said to further their agenda and these ideas. Daniel Greenfield has been our guest, Showman Journalist Fellow at the Freedom Center. Daniel, as always, we appreciate the time and the reporting. Take care.
Thank you so much.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.